when we made the schedule for this year and chose all the themes for the different masses, we chose for today the psalm response, "Create a clean heart in me, O God." Of course, when we made this list, we didn't know that we would have another lockdown and another surge. We didn't know that Brother Boy would not be with us. We just assumed. Who would ever have thought otherwise? We just assumed he would be here. He's here every day. He's certainly here for all the masses with the choir. But as it turns out, God had other plans, and God decided that Boy should join the heavenly choirs. Before we turn to this theme, I'd like to just point out how beautiful it is, how Boy's passing has been inserted into the flow of our life. He died 2 weeks ago yesterday. That was January 14. And it was a stunning blow to us all, especially to the family, but it was a shock to us. And the very first Mass that I was able to offer for him was Saturday morning, so 2 weeks ago today. And we had a thematic Mass. We couldn't have the choir because we were still in the restrictions, but we had a Mass and the theme was "Get Up and Follow Me." And I remember 2 weeks ago, it was so striking that "Get Up and Follow Me" seemed to be the Lord's word to Boy himself. Come up out of the world and join us up here in heaven. Get up. Then 1 week ago, we had a funeral Mass for Brother Boy. The family brought his urn here, placed it here before the altar, last Saturday, it was not on our schedule. We had no plan to have a special Mass, but in honor of our brother, we had it, and it was a beautiful opportunity to pay our respects. And then the family allowed us to keep the remains of Boy here before the altar this whole week. So you know how topsy-turvy everything is these days. Instead of having the wake and then the funeral, we had the funeral and then the wake. So the wake all week, and today's the last day that his urn will be here. And so we have another Mass, and it turns out to be, this was scheduled long ago that we would have a Mass today. So I think Boy would find this kind of funny. His first Mass here, thematic Mass, but not, we couldn't really do it properly. And then when we had no scheduled Mass, we had a Mass for him. Of course, he was here. And then today, we're back to normal in a certain sense. And Boy is still with us, and this is kind of his send-off. We entrust him to the Lord. The family will be bringing him to the province today or tomorrow. On Saturday, or next week. Okay, so, but you're bringing the urn out away from the chapel today? Yeah. Okay, so and since Boy was here every day, whether it was a thematic Mass or not, I think it's fitting that he joined us for this Mass. Sometimes he would even, you know, he loved music. He loved to sing in honor of the Lord. Sometimes he would bring his guitar and accompany whoever was around to sing. Rosie and Baby and Evelinda would sing, and Boy would play the guitar, or the boys. But he especially loved to sing with the men's choir, and so that's what we're doing today. Now let me say a word about, turn our thoughts to the theme today, "Create a clean heart in me, O God." As I say, it comes from today's psalm, Psalm 51. And Psalm 51, the famous penitential psalm, is usually associated with David's sin. Traditionally, this is what David sang when he was repenting for his grievous sin. So that's why this psalm goes together with today's first reading. First reading is all about David's sin and his repentance. The commentaries often point out that this word create in me a clean heart, O God. The word create in Hebrew, bara. I know in Tagalog there's a bara. Bara in Tagalog means clogged, you know, blocked. May bara ang tubo, ganyan. May bara ang puso ko, ganyan. A a blockage. In Hebrew, that's a completely different meaning. But bara in Hebrew means create. And the only subject of this verb is God. The only one who can create, the only one who can bara, is God. So it means to call into being something entirely new. It's a new beginning, a new creation. That's a bara, that's to create. So when we are saying to the Lord, create in me a clean heart, we're not asking him just to clean up our heart or make us a little better. We're not saying, oh, I'm going to try harder now. We're saying, Lord, make it possible for me to start all over again. Make a new creation, a new beginning. That's what we are praying for. And that's what God does do. Forgiveness is like, God's forgiveness is like a new beginning, a new creation, a new start. It's like a resurrection. So that's what we're asking the Lord of. And this is what comes from the mouth of David when he was caught in his sin. So let's think a little bit about David's experience. We heard about his sin in yesterday's first reading. You probably know about it. It's quite notorious. David, the king, took the wife of Uriah and had relations with her, and she got pregnant. Then he arranged for her husband to be killed. So very grave sins, adultery and murder, adultery and murder. How far down can you go? That's where David went. And it seems that, now we don't know about the woman, Bathsheba, we don't know what her role in it is. We're talking about David's sin here. She perhaps cooperated, or perhaps she was just had no choice, because you know, in that culture, when the king wants something, he gets it. So it might be more an example of sexual abuse, or maybe not rape exactly, but perhaps she had no choice. Probably in her own mind, she had no choice. Anyway, we're focusing on David here because he's certainly the guilty one, and it seems that his conscience has died. And he doesn't do anything. He takes Bathsheba into his home and marries her and acts as if that her child is, you know, just everything is fine. Acting as if he's not a sinner, acting as if he hasn't completely collapsed, as if he hasn't done anything wrong. Now, this is a strange thing, but we are capable of this. When we're in very grave sin, we can not look at it or try to turn a blind eye to it and live as if everything's okay. Now, of course, we know deep down everything's not okay. We know it, but we pretend or we carry on as if everything's fine. So the conscience is asleep, if not dead. So the conscience has to be reawakened, and that's what we hear about in today's first reading. The prophet Nathan is sent to David to reawaken his conscience, to make David realize what a terrible condition he is in and what a terrible thing he has done. But that's not an easy thing to do, because you don't just go up to a king and tell him he's a sinner. So Nathan comes up with this little story, like a parable, of the rich man and the poor man. The rich man has all kinds of flocks and herds. He's got many sheep. The poor man has one sheep, he has one lamb, and he treasures this lamb like a daughter. The rich man has a visitor, he wants to have a banquet for the visitor. He doesn't take from his own flocks, he takes the treasured little lamb of the poor man and he kills it and eats it. So it's a horrible injustice. It's interesting to see what Nathan does here. He shows David, and David doesn't realize it at first, but he shows David that his sin is not just his problem. David's sin destroyed Uriah and Bathsheba. Just like this rich man in the parable destroys that lamb. He doesn't just take it and treat it with love the way the owner of the lamb treated it. He used that lamb, and that's exactly what he does to Bathsheba. he uses her, treats her like his own property. He slaughters her, and he literally slaughters her husband. So this is how just ugly this kind of behavior is. And David's reaction to the parable is, well, that's horrible. That guy should die. And then Nathan says, you are the man. You are the man. You have done this. David's conscience is suddenly awakened. He realizes that it's true. He doesn't deny it, which is a good thing. Very often when people are confronted with their sins, they deny it. Oh, I didn't do it. I didn't do anything wrong. It's not my fault. David doesn't do that. He simply says, I have sinned against the Lord. I admit I'm a sinner. Now what? This is where this theme comes in. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Because what can we do when we have collapsed? What can we do when we're already dead? What can we do when the boat is filled up with water? We're in a hopeless condition. We can't just say, oh, now I'm meant to do better. What about the destruction that we have wrought against our loved ones, against ourselves? What about the offense against God? How do we undo it? We can't. We're stuck. Except that we can turn back to the Lord. We can always turn back to the Lord. And this prayer, create a clean heart in me, O God, is done with two things in mind. One, I'm a sinner. I've destroyed myself. It's my own fault. And two, I can have hope that God will start again, will give me a new beginning. I'm a sinner, but God is merciful. I'm dead, but God gives new life. I have destroyed, God can recreate. These two things go together. If we only have one of them, it doesn't work. If we just say, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, well, that doesn't do us any good. It just makes us feel bad. If we say, oh, God is good, God is good, God is good, but we don't admit that we're sinners, that doesn't work either. Because we're not allowing him to recreate us. We're just expecting to carry on. No, the important thing in repentance is to acknowledge that we're sinners and to ask God to make us new, to create a clean heart in us, to a new beginning. This new creation, of course, happens in baptism. That's when we're made new the first time. It happens every time we go to confession. We walk into the confessional dead, or at least deeply wounded, and we come out alive, restored, healthy. New creation. Now, thinking again about Brother Goy, one of the great images of a new creation is the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. When Jesus died, laid in the tomb, it looked like the end. That's the end. There's no more. That's the end of the story. When he comes up out of the tomb, he starts a whole new story. A whole new possibility. When our loved ones die, we see them enter into the tomb. This is the last day we're going to see Brother Goy's urn. He's going to be buried. Well, that looks like the end of the story. But in faith, we know there's such a thing as a new creation. And that's what gives us hope. That's what gives us the possibility of having joy again, even though we grieve his death. Because we know God gives new life. God is a God of life. New creation. Not just the first creation, but a new creation. And this is a great source of joy and hope for us. When we are born, when we're born naturally, it's not exactly a surprise because, you know, when a woman is pregnant, she knows she's pregnant for months and she's expecting to give birth. It doesn't take her completely by surprise. But when someone dies, it can be a big surprise. And that's what happened with Brother Boy. We didn't know it was going to happen. He just died. The new creation is a surprise. God can just make us new. He can, in one moment, he can take us to heaven. In one moment. We don't know when that will be, but we don't have to live in fear of death, because God's power is power to bring something completely new into being. Bara, he can create. And it's this, it's confidence in God's power that gives us hope and joy and consolation when our loved ones die, and a hope when we die in sin, when we find ourselves having committed terrible offenses against God and against others. We don't despair. We don't give up. We turn back to God because he's a God of life, of new life. And so we ask the Lord to give Brother Boy the fullness of new life in heaven. I think he has already given him that, but that's still our prayer. And give Boy the fullness of the life he longed for when he was singing here with us. And then we also ask God to create a clean heart in each one of us. Each one of us sinners are not without hope. We're weak, we're broken, we've made a mess out of our lives, but we don't despair because we put our trust in the creative power of our merciful God.